Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, this is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you this morning, or today, depending on where you are, who have taken out the time to tune into this broadcast. Your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 29 minutes or so, I want to add to our wellness experience. First of all, please go to wiserliving.com, that's W-E-I-S-E-R, living.com, and on the initial page, you'll see on the right-hand side where you can actually get a Skype consultation. If you have not signed up, you can actually register for free on that page as well. There'll be a pop-up that comes up and asks for your name and email address, so you want to put that in. On that page also, you can click on Wiser Living TV, that link, and watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded. And by subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archive radio program at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all the articles, the programs, services, Wiser Living seminars, recipes, and products as well. Especially with today's topic. So do take a look at that at your earliest convenience. And with that, let's do a little fast recap. Check out wiserliving.com, W-E-I-S-E-R, living.com. It's free. Subscribe to Wiser Living TV. Follow us at Wiser Living Radio. Like us at facebook.com/Wiser Living. And you can also connect with us at Google+, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. See some pictures on Pinterest. So with that, heartburn. Heartburn or acid reflux or gastroesophageal reflux disease, commonly known as GERD with a G, or peptic ulcer, I should add that in there, are more or less four interchangeable terms that are basically talking about the same thing. And it affects about 44 to 50% of the American population. They either have heartburn at least once a month, or reflux, and that could be as often as once a week or every day. So speaking of that, this reflux, when you hear the word acid reflux, it's basically where the acid travels back up into the, or refluxes up into the esophagus. Acid-blocking drugs, or what we call protein pump inhibitors, PPIs, like Nexium, Prevacid, or that little purple pill, you know, the one that's called Prilosec, are the third most prescribed medications in the country after heart disease medications and medications for diabetes. Number three, so what is the cause or the causes of acid reflux? You know, are millions of Americans born with the same or some sort of a genetic defect that makes us, it basically makes us prone to produce a lot of acid in our stomachs? Or do we get to a certain age where we need acid blocking drugs as on a daily basis to prevent heartburn and reflux? Is it really a problem with producing too much acid? Well, Nexium is a $5.1 billion industry. That's with a B. That one medication. Prevacid, their sales are at $3.4 billion each year. And there are numerous studies out there showing that people who take acid-blocking medications for the long term can become deficient in vitamin B12. And once you are deficient in B12, that leads to fatigue, peripheral neuropathy, you know, diabetics have to deal with this, tongue and mouth irregularities, macrocytic anemia, which is abnormally enlarged red blood cells, depression, confusion, memory loss, especially in the elderly, poor blood clotting, and easy bruising. Not only that, dermatitis and skin sensitivities, loss of appetite, nausea, and vomiting, which invariably places an undue amount of stress on your liver. What is the cause? Well, the hallmark symptom of acid reflux is heartburn, which is that burning sensation behind your breastbone that sometimes travels up into your throat. And sometimes this pain can be so intense that it makes you think you may be having a heart attack. And this reflux of acid is thought to be caused by excessive amounts of acid in your stomach, which is why acid-blocking drugs are usually prescribed or recommended, because some of you get over-the-counter now. Now, this is a huge misconception because affects millions of people, even hundreds of millions of sufferers, because the problem is not too much acid. Once again, the problem is not too much acid. The problem is due to having too little acid in your stomach. So here's what's going on. After food passes through your esophagus and into your stomach, a valve or a door at the lower end of your esophagus, you know, that's going right into your stomach, is slammed shut. And this prevents the stomach acid from traveling back up into your esophagus. And there's a small percentage of people that don't have that flap. So I'll go into what they can do later. But acid reflux or heartburn or GERD occurs when this valve relaxes, which is not supposed to do, and allowing acid from your stomach to reflux or flow back up into your esophagus. So the cause is not due to excessive acid production, and these symptoms are related to two unrelated conditions. And one is called hiatal hernia, and the other is due to a bad bacteria called Helicobacter pylori, or H. pylori. That's why they shortened it to H. pylori, because it's so hard to pronounce. It's a tongue twister. H. pylori of bacteria is thought to affect more than one half. This is crazy. One half of the world's population, and has also been identified as a group 1 carcinogen by the World Health Organization. Half the population of the world, and many people who have a hiatal hernia also have H. pylori, which causes a low-level inflammation of the stomach lining that can result in an ulcer, which has its own set of symptoms. If you have, or better yet, if there are many chiropractors who are adept or skilled in correcting this problem. Physical therapy, there's some physical therapy techniques that can be utilized to correct this problem. Besides all of this, you also must be made aware that certain medications and over-the-counter medications can also cause heartburn. So some of these are anxiety medications, antidepressants, antibiotics, blood pressure medication, nitroglycerin for heart issues, medications for osteoporosis, and pain relievers. A lot of people take, I gave you this list, but, which one is number one? There's a lot of people take antidepressants. A lot of people take antibiotics. They self-medicate themselves, self-diagnose themselves and take antibiotics. And so all of these and pain relievers, you know, how many aspirins and all of those different kinds of non-steroidal anti-inflammatories that people are taking. And these can cause a problem. So if your heartburn is caused by a medication you're taking, the answer is to address what you're taking, when you are taking it, and how are you taking it. And taking another drug to address another symptom may not be the answer. There are 16,000 articles. 16,000 in the medical literature showing that suppressing stomach acid does not address the problem. So it's not like someone or a handful of people just came up with a theory. This has like been known for decades. 16,000 articles. And it only treats the symptoms temporarily. When you take a medication, it only treats the symptoms temporarily. These PPIs, the protein pump inhibitors like Prilosec and Nexium and Prevacid, they were originally designed to treat a very limited range of severe issues like bleeding ulcers, Zollinger-Ellison syndrome, which is a rare condition that causes your stomach to produce too much acid. Of course, you're not going to make $5 billion. You're not going to make billions of dollars if you're only prescribing it for that. And also, severe acid reflux where there's damage to the esophagus, like scarring. So there is a reason to take the medication, but it's three different diagnoses that are basically rare. So if that's not enough, once you start taking the medication, you will develop a tolerance and a dependence to it, which means you can't stop it cold turkey. You have to wean yourself off of them and then take a H2 blocker. What is an H2 blocker? Like Tagamet, cimetidine, or Zantac, or ranitidine. Then gradually wean yourself off of the H2 blockers over the next several weeks. So it's going to take at least a couple of months to do this. While you are weaning yourself off of these drugs, you'll want to start implementing a lifestyle modification program that can eliminate this condition once and for all. Typically, antibiotics can eliminate H. pylori bacterial infections, but there are many other effective strategies that you can also use to make this happen. And the ideal situation would be to try other strategies rather than the antibiotics, since medication will kill off your good bacteria as well, which will lead to other problems. And ultimately, the answer to heartburn and acid indigestion is really simple. It's to restore your natural stomach balance and natural stomach function. So you do that by eating large amounts of unprocessed food, because normally if people with acid reflux, they're eating large amounts of processed foods and sugars, which will make your acid reflux actually worse. I mean, it'll do that for sure. It will also upset the bacterial balance in your stomach as well as in your intestinal tract. So you will want to eat plenty of vegetables and other organic unprocessed foods like salads, oatmeal for some of you that can tolerate that, ginger, bananas, fresh melons, fennel, F-E-N-N-E-L, chicken and turkey, fish and seafood, cauliflower, broccoli, asparagus, green beans, pretty much all of the greens and root vegetables, basically, like celery. Let me add celery and parsley, and then there's couscous and basmati rice. Also, you will want to eliminate food triggers from your diet, if even for a limited time, because I know when I mention these food triggers, you're going to like freak out and go, no, I can't do that. You know, so I'm talking about limiting, at least for a short period of time, caffeine, alcohol, and nicotine. These are three products that a lot of people consume. A lot of people smoke cigarettes. You drink alcohol, even if it's socially. And some people, they when they work and they're stressed out from freeways, get home and they want to have a glass of wine or whatever. So you might have to, just for a short period of time to eliminate that, to at least find out if it is, in fact, causing it to happen. The next step you want to take is to make sure you're getting enough beneficial bacteria from your diet. And this will help balance your bowel flora, which can help eliminate the H. pylori bacteria. You know, I keep mentioning H. pylori. A lot of people, you'd be surprised how many people have H. pylori bacteria in their gut. This means you'll want to incorporate probiotics or beneficial bacteria from fermented foods. And if you aren't eating fermented foods, you'll need to take a probiotic supplement on a daily basis. You'll also want to include a variety of cultured type foods and beverages into your diet, because each of these foods will inoculate your gut with a variety of different microorganisms. Fermented, speaking of that, fermented foods, by consuming fermented foods, you can actually make these in your house. Like, say, fermented vegetables, like fermented cabbage, which we call, once they're fermented, they're called sauerkraut, fermented carrots. You can make some chutneys, yogurt, kefir, or kefir, and sour cream. A fish, a little tiny fish called a mackerel. They're like really good to consume. And speaking of fermented foods, again, fermented foods are some of the best chelators and detoxification agents available. They can help rid your body of a lot of different toxins and even heavy metals. So what you can do is you could check out Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride's, her Gut and Psychology Syndrome, which is short for GAPS, her GAPS nutritional program. It can basically give you a whole recipe and how to eliminate some of these things that we're talking about today. Now, I mentioned earlier that heartburn is typically a sign of having too little acid in the stomach. And increasing your hydrochloric acid ratio requires that you consume enough raw materials on a daily basis. High-quality sea salt, unprocessed salt, I'm talking about unprocessed salt such as Himalayan salt, will not only provide you with the chloride your body needs to make hydrochloric acid, it also contains about 80 trace minerals your body needs to perform at optimal levels. So it's not only going to help with the stomach, with the reflux, the GERD, the acid reflux, the heartburn, but it's going to optimize the other parts of your body. Here again, sauerkraut or cabbage juice is a strong, if not the strongest stimulant for your body to produce stomach acid. And having a few teaspoons of cabbage juice before eating, or better yet, fermented cabbage juice from sauerkraut will do wonders. So you can eat the sauerkraut. There's juice in there. You can take a teaspoon out. Make sure you don't contaminate it. Kind of pour it out into the spoon instead of sticking the spoon into the jar and taking it out that way so you don't contaminate it. You want just only good bacteria there, right? You can check out, matter of fact, when we talk about fermented foods, you can check out my video on YouTube about the benefits of Soleil and how to make it. That's on Wiser Living TV. You can also go to Wiser Living Radio and listen to a program that we did earlier called Probiotics, How an Unhealthy Gut Might Lead to an Early Grave. Probiotics, How an Unhealthy Gut Might Lead to an Early Grave. And another one is It's Time to End the War on Salt, Shaking Up the Myths. So you can go to Wiser Living Radio and check those two radio shows out, all right? And what else? And another way to increase the acid content in your stomach is by taking one tablespoon of raw, unfiltered, I think it's unfiltered on the container, organic apple cider vinegar in a large glass of water. Taking one tablespoon of raw, unfiltered, organic apple cider vinegar in a large glass of water. Because I know some people, they take the apple cider vinegar straight, you know, I guess they call it neat. They take it first and then they wash it down with the water. But that's not the way to do it because it's going to, you know, make your throat feel like you're having a reflux because it's going to, you know, have that burning sensation. And you don't want that. That's what we're trying to eliminate. So please mix it in the water and then drink it mix in the mixture. Another option you can do is to take betaine, B-E-T-A-I-N-E, betaine hydrochloric supplement. You'll want to take as many as you need to get the slightest burning sensation and then decrease by one capsule. So you get the burning sensation, decrease by one capsule, so you know you got enough. This will help your body to better digest your food and will also help kill H. pylori bacteria. Here's that word again, H. pylori bacteria. Another thing you do is take one half to one full tablespoon of baking soda in an 8-ounce glass of water to ease the burn of acid reflux and to neutralize stomach acid. And this is not a regular solution, but it can help in an emergency situation when you are in excruciating pain because you don't want to alkalize your stomach. You want it to have, to be acidic. And I mean, when I say acidic, I don't, you know, as the numbers go down, six is kind of in the middle of, or seven is in the middle of acid and alkaline. So as you go toward one, you're becoming more acidic. Your stomach should be 0.8. 0.8. I mean, that's really, really acidic. Millions of people don't have their stomach acid at that level. So another thing you can do is the juice from the aloe plant. If you have, a lot of aloe plants in your yard or somewhere, because it naturally helps to reduce inflammation, which could ease your symptoms. You will need to drink at least a half a cup of the aloe juice before meals to get that to happen. Next is ginger root. Ginger root has been found to have anti-inflammatory properties, and it helps to promote digestion. So ginger root. Now, and chamomile tea or chamomile tea before bedtime helps soothe the stomach inflammation and also helps you to sleep. That's why you're going to bed in the first place, right? So let me go back to ginger for a moment. Drinking ginger before a meal can be the ideal way to lessen acid reflux or heartburn. So to do this, you can take 2 to 3 slices of fresh ginger root to 2 cups of hot water and let it steep for about 30 minutes, then drink it about 20 minutes before your meal. Okay? Next is vitamin D. Vitamin D is important for addressing any infections or infection in your body, any infectious problem. And once your vitamin D levels are optimized, you're also going to optimize your production of about 200 antimicrobial peptides that will help your body to eradicate any infection, A-N-Y, any infection that shouldn't be taken up residence in your body. So taking a good vitamin D supplement with K1, K2, and K3 added is very, very, very important, vitamin D3. Now, next is astaxanthin, which is A-S-T-A-X-A-N-thin, A-S-T-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. This is a potent antioxidant that has been found to reduce symptoms of acid reflux, and the best results were obtained at a daily intake of about 40 milligrams. That's 40 milligrams. Then there's an herb called slippery elm. Slippery elm is an herb that coats and soothes the mouth, the throat, the stomach, and the intestines. And it also has antioxidants that can help address inflammatory bowel conditions. You can make a tea by pouring 2 cups of boiling water over 4 grams or approximately 2 tablespoons of the powdered bark, then steep for 3 to 5 minutes. You should drink this 3 times a day if you're dealing with acid reflux. If you're getting it in capsules, you'll need 400 to 500 milligrams 3 times a day for 48 weeks. 4 to 8 weeks. So that's basically about 2 months, according to the University of Maryland Medical Center. So they're doing it as well. Also, the almighty B vitamins can reduce your risk for acid reflux. Wow, the B vitamin, especially folate or B9. High folate intake has been shown to reduce acid reflux by a whopping 40%. But they've also found that low B2 and B6 levels were shown to be linked to an increased risk for acid reflux. So eating folate-rich foods like liver, asparagus, spinach, okra, and beans will raise your folate levels. I personally supplement with the whole food phytomatrix vitamin and mineral supplement to get everything that I need on a daily basis and eating foods. I mentioned the word supplement. And you hear me saying this all the time because supplement means to add to. You can't just take the vitamins and minerals and pills and everything's going to be okay. You have to change your diet. You have to really change that, come full circle, and optimize everything. Also, gastrointestinal enzymes. Can't forget those. Gastrointestinal enzymes are very important. Enzymes, and it's because enzymes are substances that act as catalysts, regulating the speed of metabolism, as well as aiding many other chemical reactions in our bodies. And some enzymes are produced by the body, but there are others that must be provided in the diet. And that's why we're saying we have to change the diet. The problem here is that our modern farming practices have resulted in huge reductions of the enzyme activity in our foods. And what little remains is usually cooked out before we actually eat it, unless you eat it raw, of course. The digestive system must function properly to successfully absorb all of the nutrients our cells need for good health. That's including your stomach cells and your esophagus cells, which are affected in acid reflux, hence the need to supplement with gastrointestinal enzymes. You know, eating right before before bed, because a lot of us do that, especially if you're stressed, eating with an already full stomach, being overweight and having a big belly, chronic stress, loss of magnesium, food sensitivities, bad bacteria or yeast. Once again, bad bacteria, we're talking about H. pylori bacteria, are other factors that can cause acid reflux. And they say that almost 45 to 50% of the world's population has H. pylori bacteria. That's insane. So you want to avoid fried foods. You want to avoid spicy foods. You want to avoid citrus foods and tomato-based foods. A tomato is actually alkaline until you cook it. Then it's acidic. You want to avoid, obviously, processed foods. And then what I mentioned before, alcohol, caffeine, and smoking if you're dealing with acid reflux. So apple cider vinegar, betaine hydrochloric acid or hydrochloric tablets, probiotics, digestive enzymes. Here's a simple one, chewing your food well and relaxing while you eat. And then I didn't mention this, but adding 2 drops of peppermint essential oil in a glass of water will help reduce the symptoms of acid reflux. Don't forget the salt solution, Sole. I mean, you really need to go to the Wiser Living TV and listen to the video that I did on that. I mean, you'd be just blown away because it doesn't cost much. And it's easy to consume on a daily basis. So if you are having heartburn, wheezing, hoarseness, asthma, a feeling that food is stuck in your throat, dental problems, a tightness in your throat, or even bad breath, make a concerted effort to incorporate the suggestions mentioned on this show today. So once again, I'm saying this over and over again because there's so much information that's already out there that you need to check out. Check out wiserliving.com there's some articles related to today's topic. Wiser Living TV and Wiser Living Radio, which is where you are now, and there are articles on fermentation and the salt solution or Soleil. Check out the product section for information on vitamin D3 with K1, K2, and K3, digestive probiotics and enzymes, betaine, hydrochloric acid, vitamin D complex, the phytomatrix vitamin, we have patented aloe products like Ambrotose complex, and Wiser Living TV also has a video on the benefits of aloe vera and how to fillet a leaf. So check that out. And in closing, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser, and we'll see you next time.